Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
No matter where you live, the DSC is nearby. It could be a DSC chapter near you, or maybe it's a gun range that we fight to protect. It might even be a youngster that we taught to hunt or fish. We are the DSC, biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back to the camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. I'm grateful and humbled that you're here with us. Thank you. Front Door to the Camp House is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care. It's a canine probiotic that very gently and safely over time calms the over-anxious dog, the over-barker, the over-jumper. If that's your dog, talk to your vet about Calming Care. Hunting, the very act of the pursuit. It comes in many different forms. Sometimes success comes quickly. Other times, a hunter must apply all of his skills, knowledge, and constantly study for a long period of time. Still, no guarantee that you'll harvest that animal. I've invited a couple of guys to join me on the show today that have experienced tremendous success this fall. But those successes were the result of two extremely different pathways to success. Like David Miller and his beautiful 17-point whitetail from West Virginia. David harvested this animal with his bow this fall after studying, watching, and hunting this deer for 6 years. 6 years. It's a totally different story in North Dakota, where Rick Ellingson arrowed the new state record Canadian moose. That hunt lasted half a day. And it's a remarkable story. You see, in North Dakota, it's a one-tag-for-life moose hunt. You can, if you're drawn, be issued one moose tag, and then you're done for life in North Dakota. Rick's name was drawn for that tag, and this was the first time he had ever personally hunted moose. First time. He'll tell us the story a little later on in the show today. But it turns out that that moose was very special. Not only the new North Dakota state record, but after the 60-day drying period, Pope and Young says this could be the largest Canadian moose ever taken in North America, and number 49 in the world. A couple of great stories. We're going hunting today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors, and I'm glad you're going with us. Man, the excitement is high in Alabama. Is it Christmas morning already? Nope, but it's opening day of the gun deer season. OutdoorAlabama.com for all the rules and regs. Might make some good reading while you're sitting in the blind today, boys. Don't forget that new bait rule there in Alabama. You can hunt deer over bait now in Alabama, but you've got to have that bait license to do it. Prescott Scargill, young man from Santa Fe, New Mexico, caught a 20-inch rainbow trout at Fenton Lake a couple of weeks ago. He's not much bigger than that fish, and he's mighty proud of it. On the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. And how about 7-year-old Braden Pennington? He has tied the IGFA male small fry world record for smallmouth bass. Burt Lake, Michigan. 5 pounds, 13 ounces. Says he was throwing a poor boy's tube bait when he caught the lunker. And he's on the bragging board, too, at bbkoradio.com. On Monday, Indiana conservation officers were dispatched to the Kingsbury Fish and Wildlife Area, Indiana. Reports that a hunter had been shot in the leg. Turns out that 48-year-old Vincent Fisher of Valparaiso, Indiana, was deer hunting and attempted to put his .44-caliber revolver pistol in its holster. That's when the firearm discharged right into his leg. His juvenile son was with him, immediately used a belt to reduce the bleeding and called 911. He was in stable condition at LaPorte Hospital, last we heard. Just a reminder, guys, even though we pound it into our heads all the time, careful. I know this is a beautiful sight. It's that time of year. The trumpeter and tundra swans are returning to Whatcom, Skagit, Snohomish, and other western Washington counties right now. Out in Arizona, it's Bring Your Daughter Fishing Day. Saharita Lake, Saharita, Arizona. Dads, Grab your daughters. Join the Arizona Game and Fish Department for a great day of family fishing fun. Even if you're new to fishing or have never fished, the folks with the Game and Fish Department have gear that you can use there at the lake today. Bait, too, and expertise. They're going to give away some youth fishing licenses. 100 of them, as a matter of fact. Monty Williams, Scottsdale, Arizona, left a note on the camp house door the other day. Hey, Billy, I love Jesus. I love the outdoors. You got it going there, Monty. I just heard you for the first time today and was so inspired. God bless you, my friend. Hey, thank you for listening. Glad you enjoyed the show there in Scottsdale, Monty. In the state of Texas, for $5, you could have a lifetime hunting and fishing. Yeah, combo. Lifetime combo license for only $5. That's an $1,800 value. It's a drawing, and you can buy as many of those $5 entries as you'd like. Win it, and you hunt and fish in Texas for the rest of your life without having to buy another license. Entry deadline, November 30. Calming Care, a canine probiotic that very gently over time and naturally calms the overactive dog. That can be a big relief to the overactive dog owner. Talk to your vet about Calming Care.
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Browning. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Now, Billy, I've got to go fishing, so while I'm gone, make sure you leave those turkeys around my house alone.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wyson, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
You're in good conservation company with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Incredible auctions every day await you in person and online at the DSC Convention and Expo, January 9 through 12. Details at biggame.org.
Antler restrictions come in a lot of different forms across the U.S. Here in Texas, it means a 13-inch inside spread. Now, that's not every county in Texas. That's a lot of counties in Texas. You need to know where you're hunting. Look at the regulations book before you go. In other states, it might be 4 points on one side or at least 7 points on a deer. Regulations vary. But the bottom line is, antler restrictions have been a really good thing for maturing our buck deer across the U.S., a great management tool. But sometimes mistakes happen and that undersized deer goes down. I want to talk about what to do in that situation if it happens to you. And I want to talk about it with a good friend of mine, Steve Stapleton, Captain Steve Stapleton with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. You might know him from Lone Star Law TV. Steve, good to have you back, buddy.
Billy, how you been?
I'm good. You know, it's a busy time of year for our Texas game wardens and wardens all over the nation. Deer seasons are open for the most part, opening up today in other areas. And so you guys are out in the field. Is everybody behaving themselves, Steve? Is it a perfect record so far in Texas? Nobody's got the ticket yet.
Hey, they're doing what they can. They're trying to be legal. Hey, we've got some parts of the state where hey, they may fudge a little bit here. They, you know, over here in Van Zandt County, they opened up a little early, but we got that all under check, and hopefully we're back on the right track to success.
Absolutely. You betcha. We put antler restrictions in place in our state a few years ago, and Larry Wysoon and I are talking about that on the show today and how that's advanced our deer. We're growing some better deer now because of that. Various states have various restrictions. In some states, a deer has to have so many points. But you're a Texas game warden, and we're going to talk about 13-inch inside spread. If somebody shoots that nice, tall deer, boy, he's mature, he's an older deer, he's just what they want, and then they step up to him and that ground shrinkage takes place, and he's only 12.5 inches inside spread, what do we need to do with that deer at that point when we first walk up to him, Steve? What steps do we take?
Yep. Hey, it does happen. It's a very common call that we get this time of year. And, hey, like you said, hey, ground shrinkage will sneak up on you, especially on these deer if they step out early or they're late. You know, you don't get a real good look. It's a snap. It's a snapshot. But, hey, when that happens, and, again, it will, hey, get up there. Go ahead and tag that deer, and then what we tell people, and this seems counterintuitive, hey, go ahead and call your game warden, all right? Because one way or another, he's going to find out, okay? So make his or her job a little easier and just call, okay? And I don't like to think of it as just turning yourself in, but, hey, trying to cooperate with the program, because these rules are set in place. It's a biological check. We're trying to manage the deer herd. So when you get that short deer, Hey, it can be under 13 inches, or it could be that deer that you thought was a spike, and dang it, he's got a 2-inch kicker off the back of one of those tines that you didn't see. Call that local game warden. Hey, we're on the internet. You can call our hotline and get your local warden in the particular county you're in 24/7. That game warden will contact you, and normally, and this is the tricky part, I can't tell you what's going to happen after that. But I can tell you that it's a lot better setting when you call that game warden and tell them what's happened and explain it. And as game wardens in the state, we have discretion on each case. Hey, sometimes it's a warning. Hey, sometimes it's a ticket. And it's all dependent upon the circumstance and how everything went down. And, hey, your story to that game warden.
If you shot that deer illegally on purpose, it's going to be found out. If you made a mistake, well, the best thing you can do is just come clean, call that local game warden, and tell him what took place. Tell him what happened. These guys are human, and they understand we are too. Steve, we first walk up, like you said, and put a tag on that deer. If he's laying in the sun, can we move him over to the shade? Can we move that deer at all?
Yeah, no, hey, go ahead and tag that deer, you know, first and foremost. And then, hey, yeah, take care of him, okay, because we don't want the meat to spoil or anything like that. What we saw, not common, but fairly common the first year we put this in place, hey, there were a lot of guys that, hey, they left some deer out there in the woods. And that's not what we want, all right? And that's not what that law is intending to do. So don't make matters worse by just walking off from that thing, okay? And not that any of your listeners would do that, I'm quite sure. But, no, hey, take care of that deer. Go ahead and field dress him. Remember, that game warden that you call, hey, he may be 3 or 4 hours away. He's super busy. He's going to tell you the same exact thing. Tag it. Try to make it legal. Hey, do what you normally would. Take care of that carcass and the meat.
There you go. If you do make a bad decision and leave that deer out there, you'll be amazed. You think he's well hidden, but you'll be amazed how these guys will find that out. You're sneaky, Steve. You guys are sneaky.
We're trying to be.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
And the second bad decision you can make is just to tag him like everything's okay and I've had a great hunt and I'm just going to take him to the processor with his head down low in the bed of the pickup and hope I don't get pulled over for anything. Because I've seen a lot of you guys, game wardens, down at the processor during deer season.
That's true. Hey, and we'll get calls. You'll be surprised. You'll think nobody notices, but, hey, all of our good hunters kind of police themselves, you know. And if they see a short deer, hey, they'll call that hotline. Hey, I've had the processor call us and say, hey, there's a short deer over here, and he shouldn't be here, you know. So, no, it's hard to keep it a secret, and it's hard to keep it quiet. Hey, this 13-inch law, it's a tough law. It involves a judgment call a lot of times. And it's not perfect, and we recognize that, you know. But it's a management tool, and you've got to look at it from the perspective of Texas Parks and Wildlife and our biologists and what they're trying to do, which is manage a better, bigger deer herd. And that's what we're after.
What if I see an old buck step out, and he's 6-7 years old, he's got mass like crazy, he's got baseball bats coming out the top of his head, and he's 14 inches tall, but he's narrow. Yeah. What do I do with that rascal?
And that is super common. Hey, just this past week, I've had a hunter send me a really nice videotape of a 5.5-year-old deer. He is probably 9 inches wide, but he is 2 foot tall. Okay, That's probably all that deer. That's all that deer will ever be. And hey, the right answer is, hey, you got to let him walk. You just have to, and. You know, I hate saying that because that's all that deer will ever be, and I'm sure he's breeding does out there. But I can't give them, and neither can another game warden in the state give them authorization to just break the law. So,
yep.
You know, that happens. That happens out there. You know, game camera pictures have revolutionized how game wardens work. Leading up to the opening day of deer season, every game warden in the state is getting constant text messages and pictures of deer from hunters who are trying to be legal, and they're saying, hey, is this one legal? Is this one legal? Is this one right?
And they're trying to get permission.
And it puts us in an awkward spot because, hey, he may look right. He really may. But what you don't see is that kicker on the backside. So, he looks 13, but he's not quite, you know. But also, too, we get a lot of questions about, hey, how did y'all come up with 13 inches? And real simply, hey, the biologists tell us that the normal deer from ear tip to ear tip is 13 inches. And so that's the best way for us to give you a tool to gauge that deer in the field. And that's where that comes from. But like I tell everybody, hey, if you're hovering around that 13-inch mark, you're really missing the intent of the law. You know, you should be hovering around that 13-inch mark. You should be looking a lot bigger. You know, and if you have to ask yourself when you're looking through the scope, is he big enough? He probably isn't. You need to let that deer walk. What this law does, though, is it really makes that hunter spend more time looking at that deer. Try to get a good look. And I know that's hard. And we found it makes more hunters sit and stand a little longer and look at deer a little longer. And when we say 13 inches, it's actually an inside-to-inside measurement on the main beam of that deer.
There you go. Hey, Steve, appreciate you always doing all your hard work out in the field. I know it's a 24-hour day, and I appreciate 10 minutes of your day today.
Hey, stay safe out there.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net. For years, the Abu Garcia and Fenwick names have been legendary among fishermen all over the world. With a strong history in craftsmanship, technology, and durability, the Abu Garcia and Fenwick fishing brands continue to meet the specialized needs of avid anglers of any skill level. Are you looking for your next new rod and reel? Take a look at the unmatched quality and durability of Abu Garcia's Revo lineup or C3 series reels. Or the new Fenwick World Class and Techna PX rods, utilizing 3M PowerLux Composites technology to maximize strength, durability, and sensitivity. Visit Southwestern Parts and Service to check out the newest products from the Abu Garcia and Fenwick brands. And remember, at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas, we're the largest reel repair center in the nation for Abu Garcia and also have one of the largest reel parts inventories in the world. Three legends, Abu Garcia, Fenwick, and Southwestern Parts.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
Two-time national sporting clays champion Corey Cruz talks about Aguila Ammo's mini shot shells.
Take a half of a shotgun shell, make it real short. The recoil is nothing, the sound is nothing, but the performance is still there. My little wife, she can shoot an over and under shotgun with these mini shells and not get beat up and have fun. My nephew, whenever he wants to go shoot, he can try out my gun and shoot it and it not knock him over.
Aguila invented the mini shell, and Aguila Ammo is available everywhere. Insist on the original Aguila Ammo.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Check rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves, will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The Duck Lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Casseria. Can see me in Argentina.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
In a nutshell, the DSC is low overhead and high return to wildlife conservation, outdoors education, and the preservation of hunting, fishing, and shooting. BigGame.org.
Again this year, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is going to celebrate Christmas in Las Vegas. It's their 10-day celebration highlighting hunting, the outdoors, and the Western lifestyle. December 5 through 14, it's the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Hunter and Outdoor Christmas Expo. The expo is free to the public, takes place daily 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. during the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, South Halls of the Las Vegas Convention Center, upstairs from Cowboy Christmas, if you're going. The RMEF and their Cowboy Christmas in Las Vegas. Need more info? We've got it at bbkoradio.com. bbkoradio.com. From elk in Las Vegas, let's move it over to bird dogs in Oklahoma. Not far from the Kansas line, up north of Tulsa, Oklahoma, you'll find the top-notch Ronnie Smith Kennels, and my buddy Ronnie Smith joins me on the show now. Ronnie, always good to see you. We're right in the middle of upland seasons all across the country, and waterfowlers, this is a good, important lesson for them today, too, or a reminder. We're going to talk about obedience, and I have a fault here because I know you don't look at a field trial dog any differently than a wild bird dog, and your training methods they don't differ one iota between the two, but I was always a little guilty of maybe fudging a little in some areas with my wild bird dogs. I needed my field trial dogs to be tuned up a little tighter. I didn't need them taking a single step when pointing a bird because that's going to knock your points down. A wild bird dog, didn't matter. I might actually want them to creep a little if I've got a covey of birds running. I want them to track those birds and stay with them. And it all boils down to obedience, a lot of yard work. How much time do you guys at Ronnie Smith Kennels actually spend on obedience, no matter the age of the dog?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time. Bill, the thing that people make a large mistake with is that we think that if field trialing is what we're going to do, that we need to set up a workout exactly like we're going to field trial, or if hunting is what your interests are, then you need to go out there and shoot birds for your dog. You get way more benefit training for something, not training exactly for what it is that you're training for. That we do a lot of obedience. We do some agility stuff. And all of that stuff, when you pull it together, if you look at the Olympic athletes or professional athletes, they do a lot of cross-training. So we do the same thing with our dogs.
Yeah. So they're not getting bored with the same old thing every day, and you can focus and emphasize other areas of obedience and facets of that dog.
Well, that's right. And what we found, too, is with the cross-training, you can develop an excitement in the dog that is hard to get when you're just training, again, for what it is that you're trying to do.
I always thought it was important, even though I had maybe a six-year-old dog, a broke dog that I'd been hunting with for years, I always thought it was important in the summertime when we first started our workouts for the fall to kind of brush them up on all of their commands and manners, kind of retrain a little bit. Definitely didn't have to go as deep as I did in the beginning when they were pups and one-year-olds, but always brush up on that stuff.
Yeah, and I think, too, Bill, if people will just, like raising our children, your dog during the off-season in the house or if he's in the backyard or whenever you're around him, there are some boundaries, there are some rules, there are some things that you expect of him, and if you'll be diligent and consistent about enforcing those, then when you go to the field, there's a lot less prep work.
We've all hunted with dogs that we've had to holler at a little bit, and we've hunted with other folks that have had to holler at their dog throughout the day, and that becomes annoying for other hunters, and it annoys you if your dog is not behaving correctly. We can head a lot of that stuff off by reassuring that dog that those commands are still around every time we take them out.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I've guided hunts since 79 in South Texas, and we didn't I come from a family of field trialers, and we holler and handle dogs, and I'm very good at it. But what we learned down there was that when you've got people paying to hunt, they don't want to hear that. You know, that disrupts their conversation. It disrupts the whole ambiance of the experience. So we started learning, and that's where the silent command system of training came from. We started learning to just be quiet. And some of the benefits of it are, especially with wild birds, you know, if you're screaming and hollering at your dog, then you're just alerting the game that you're coming that direction. And now it's the situation's different. And the other thing is, imagine building a fence and somebody standing behind you, and they're telling you, they're hollering at you, telling you every little thing to do. And think about what your mental state would be, and then how sometimes it can be hard to even do the task because you're so worked up. And it's the same with dogs. You know, the quieter we are, the more we give them their head, the more relaxed they're going to hunt, the more proficient they're going to hunt. You know, heat is an intensifier. So if you're early season hunting, heat will intensify whatever it is that it can. And if you're screaming and hollering at your dog a lot, that's stressful. So the heat will intensify that stress and really affect the performance of your dog.
Ronnie, always good stuff. Thanks so much. Ronnie Smith, Kennels, north of Tulsa, Oklahoma. More info about Ronnie and Susanna and Ronnie Smith Kennels at bbkoradio.com. And if you visit Ronnie Smith Kennels, you'll notice that he keeps Fortiflora handy. It's America's number one canine probiotic. And all of our dogs, from time to time, suffer from GI upset. Fortiflora fixes that. Check it out. Chewy.com will bring it to you. Fortiflora. I can't wait for you guys to meet David Miller up in West Virginia. I've got him on the Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line right now. He killed a heck of a deer the other day, and it's a tremendous hunting story. David, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I know you're still on cloud nine because not only did you kill a giant, a behemoth of a whitetail there in West Virginia, but it's a deer that you've been watching and trying to get close to for a long, long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely a story of perseverance and patience. And yeah, I had my eye on this deer and watched him grow to maturity through the years, and until the time was right in order to go after him. Yeah,
and you did that right, and it's the way you hunted this deer that made me say, man, I've got to talk to David about this, because there was no luck to this. You worked hard all the way through the process. Let's tell folks about this deer first. 17 scoreable points and rough scored at just over 179 inches. That is a giant white-tailed deer here in Texas. When somebody shoots a free-range 180, it's a big deal. And I'm assuming in West Virginia it's a big deal too.
Yes, it is. There's a special area here in West Virginia that has been bow hunting only for this will actually be the 40th anniversary of our four bow hunting counties, and those areas really allow a lot of these bucks to reach maturity, and it's a really, really special place to be able to come and bow hunt. I grew up in these bow counties in Logan County, West Virginia, and we live adjacent to that now in another county, but I go back there now, me and my wife, to to bow hunt.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
David, hang on just a couple of minutes, if you would, while I make a run to the coffee pot. We're going to come back and talk some more. David Miller up in West Virginia shot an incredible buck. Beautiful animal. We've got him on the website at bbkoradio.com. I first learned about this after John McCoy, who writes for the West Virginia Gazette, documented the story and did a really good job of capturing the hunt in print. And I wanted to bring this hunt to you on the radio today. And we're going to go hunting with David next and see exactly how he went about fooling this old mule of a whitetail buck in West Virginia.
Hey, everybody, it's Colorado Buck. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hey, Billy, where in the world did he go?
Walleye and smallmouth bass are two entirely different critters. Walleye are a delicate, flaky delight on your plate. Smallmouth intend to shred the gears in your fishing reel. You can enjoy a snack while slowly drifting along beautiful Lake Oahe, South Dakota, in search of delicious walleye. The smallmouth is a different story, as multiple 3 to 5 pounders are pursuing your lure with intent to destroy at all times. At Spring Creek Resort and Deepwater Marina, north of Pierce, South Dakota, we know where the fine neighborhoods are that house the distinguished walleye. We also know our way around the rough neighborhoods of Oahe's smallmouth district. Come fish with us. We'll put you up in our lakeside cabins and feed you like royalty in a Spring Creek Resort restaurant and bar. Step out of your car and into Spring Creek hospitality. The toughest decisions that you'll have are walleyes or smallies. And do I really have to go back home? SpringCreekSD.com, home to the 2018 Bassmaster Elite Series.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's Word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's Word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
At Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. If you need guns, ammo, accessories, or quality gunsmithing, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries. Come stay at the Vineyards' fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly 3 decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org. and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
We screened that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
From whitetail deer just down the highway to Marco Polo sheep in Tajikistan or peacock bass on the Amazon, every adventure you can dream of will be available at the DSC Convention and Expo, January 9 through 12, biggame.org.
Hey, want to reach us here in the camp house? You can do that pretty easily. 1-877-820-BBKO is the phone number. 1-877-820-2256. And the website, bbkoradio.com. bbkoradio.com. We're visiting with David Miller up in West Virginia. He shot a tremendous whitetail buck the other day. And really special how David hunted this deer for a long time, did all his homework, and hunted this deer right. David, thanks for hanging on through the coffee break there. So how does this work in West Virginia? For you to go pursue this beautiful animal, this tremendous buck, was it an over-the-counter tag? Do you have to get drawn? How's it work?
No, it is an over-the-counter tag. You definitely can. Anybody can, you can just buy your, I think, your general license for West Virginia as a non-resident or resident, and you can hunt these whitetails. And, you know, in the past couple of years, there have been a couple of large tracts of private land that have been picked up for the elk restoration project. And those large tracts of land are some really good public ground that allows people to come in from, you know, other states and be able to enjoy pursuing these big mature whitetails.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Teddy Roosevelt. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Thank you.
Right on.
Conservationists over the past 100 years that we still have these beautiful places growing these beautiful deer. I'm looking at a picture of you with your deer. Of course, you're grinning like a mule eating cactus there. You're pretty happy in this picture. And I'm looking at your deer head on, and you think 17 points and people get a visual of stuff just going everywhere. But this is a very typical, I'm a typical rack kind of guy. This is a gorgeous rack on this deer. Very typical with 17 scoreable points.
Yeah, and traditionally, you know, when a buck starts to get older, you know, he'll keep that, like you said, that typical rack up until a certain point. And I saw that through my trail cameras through the years. I got the first pictures of him that I could identify that I know that it was him in 2013 as a young 10 point. I thought, man, this deer's got potential. And he was really clean, all up until he's probably 7 years old. And then I started seeing some kickers coming off. And then this year he was 9.5. And man, he grew from last year to this year, probably 20 inches, and added on a couple more points. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've got other properties that I hunt, but I was being patient with this one, this property and this deer. And I knew that he wouldn't be harvested where he was at. This was actually on a lease, but I'll say this, in the past 11 years, I've only taken two deer off of a lease property. The rest of them have been off of public ground anybody could have harvested on.
Well, he's absolutely gorgeous. You spotted him first, I think you said, in 2013. You've been watching him all these years, and you've been using trail cameras and kind of patterning him, and I thought it was really interesting that you moved a camera earlier this year because you suspected he might be somewhere else. Did you get a little closer to his bedding area? What did you do?
Oh, that's my favorite part probably of the story and as far as the pursuit goes. You know, I had these trail cameras. The way that it works here in Appalachia through our mountains, what will happen usually is those bucks, during the heat of the summer, they'll stay down in the cool valleys and on the north-facing slopes where it's cooler. And then what will happen as the rut approaches, they'll move up onto the ridges because they can cover more surface area up on those ridges going through saddles in the mountains and going along ridges. They cover a lot more ground, checking for does. So I had my cameras out in my traditional areas where I'd picked them up in the past and seen other bucks, and not only was I not seeing him, I wasn't seeing any deer. And we had went through a drought of about 60 days straight with no rain. And I thought to myself, man, that's had to have pushed these deer way down in the valley, in the belly of these hollows. So I thought, I need to move my cameras off these ridges because I'm not seeing them down low. And not only was I not seeing them, but a bunch of other my buddies that we had talked back and forth about this, they weren't seeing them up high where they traditionally had seen them either. So I moved a few cameras down the middle of the mountain, and I picked him up on one camera. And I thought, oh, so that's why they're not up high. They're still down low in the, probably in the oaks, because there's a lot of acorns, very plentiful this year. So I decided, I thought, well, if I'm not getting him up high, and I've only got one picture of him middle of the mountain, I'm going to go on this one point where I got him, middle of the mountain, and I'm going to go off that point into the hollow and put another camera. Well, when I did that, I started getting a ton of pictures of him and several other good bucks. And I immediately I thought to myself, well, I found him. So 2 days later, I went back and went up and checked that camera early before I hunted, saw that he had already been through there. So I backtracked.
Yeah, you checked that camera at 5 in the morning and noticed that he had been there at 2:30, just a couple of hours earlier.
Yeah. And I thought, and I noted the direction he was going. So I thought, I'm going to backtrack back down to the bottom of the creek bed. It was actually an old railroad grade down there. And I followed that old railroad grade down four drains. I think it's four drains. And popped up on another point going in the direction that he was. And no kidding, about an hour after daylight, here come a really nice 9 point, 145 inches or so. But I knew the big one was in there, so I was being patient. Well, he passed through, and about an hour after that big 9 point, nice 9 point passed through, here he came. He came in checking a scrape and presented about an 18 yard shot, and I was able to put a good shot on him, and he went about 200 yards, and we found him.
Wow, what a great hunt, man. You did your work, you put your time in, and you hunted this deer for 6 years, and it paid off for you. I'm sure that when you took the shot, you were just steady as an oak, but I bet you I bet 2 minutes later you were shaking like a puppy passing a peach seed.
I love that. But honestly, that is the truth. During the moment of the shot, pretty focused and pretty cool as a cucumber. But yeah, as soon as you touched off that that trigger release of my bow, oh my gosh, you fall apart.
My goodness. Well, the Lord gives us great blessings from time to time, and certainly this is a monumental blessing in your hunting career and in your life. You've pursued this great animal for so long, and now you're going to enjoy him on the table and probably up on the wall with a great memory for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And, I think that, I believe in what you just said. You said that the Lord provides these things, and, to whom much is given, much is required. And, through the thankfulness of the provision of the meat we have, and thankfulness for the hunt and the memories, I give all the glory and all the credit to Him, because He does make it possible for us to go out and enjoy His creation. And out there we get more than the hunt. We get an atmosphere, and we get a venue to be able to go out in and to reflect and regain focus in our lives and find ourselves. And while we're out there in our pursuits, we get to reconnect with Him.
Absolutely, we do. If you ever want to get closer to God, go sit by yourself in deer blind somewhere and watch the sun come up and look at His creation. Hey, David, again, congratulations. We're just so proud of you and a little bit jealous, but, we're just going to be happy for you really appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys. Great to be on the show with you guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you hear that old buck blow like that? Hit the rattling horns. He'll come a-running. Thank you, David Miller, and again, congrats on a tremendous whitetail buck in West Virginia.
Thank you.
kids along. This is where heritage is guarded just for them. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Remember the thrill of opening morning in the deer blind? At the DSC, we work very hard to ensure that your great-grandkids will too. BigGame.org.
Hey, you boys, get back in here off the porch. We have more chores to do around this old camp house today at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. That's exactly what I've fed to my hard-working bird dogs and lovable lap dogs ever since Pro Plan became Pro Plan, long before I ever talked about it on the radio. It's the best fuel you can possibly give your dog. Purina Pro Plan, and it's at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores in Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Well, last hour we heard from David Miller in West Virginia, who harvested that giant 17-point whitetail, huge deer, rough scored about 180, and it took him 6 years of diligence to harvest that animal. Coming up later this hour, another pretty incredible story, this time out of North Dakota. We're going to talk to a fella up there from Williston, North Dakota. His name is Rick Ellingson, and Rick drew that once-in-a-lifetime moose tag in the state of North Dakota. That's how moose tags work in North Dakota. You can enter until you're drawn. If you win that tag, you can't enter anymore. It's won in your lifetime. He drew that tag. He went moose hunting for the first time in his life, and he arrowed a giant moose. Not only is this the new North Dakota state record for a Canadian moose, but after the required drying period, it looks like Pope and Young is going to award this moose as number one all time in North America on his one hunt that he was lucky enough to get drawn for the once-in-a-lifetime tag on the first morning that he went hunting. Phenomenal story. It's coming up. I read a really interesting story this week out of Kansas about a revolutionary new fish stocking program by the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism that has largemouth bass thriving in waters that were nearly void of largemouth bass not that very long ago. And bass anglers across the nation are starting to take notice of Kansas. The Early Spawn Program. Early Spawn. It's a real game changer for bass fishing. The Early Spawn Bass Program in Kansas tricks hatchery broodfish to spawn up to 60 days earlier than normal when in the wild. The added time gives the young stocked bass the chance to grow to a size that can help them survive a Kansas winter. Now, the number of federal reservoirs with good or excellent largemouth fishing by Kansas Department of Wildlife criteria has doubled in the last decade. The problem was that young bass weren't big enough to make it through the winters because they were not really big enough to take advantage of available food. Most were only 4 to 5 inches long. The biologist in Kansas learned that if they could grow those fish to about 8 inches, their odds of survival greatly improved. Mead Fish Hatchery manager Jason Vaznar learned to manipulate water temperatures and light levels and trick those February and March broodfish into thinking that it was late May, stimulating the fish to spawn up to 2 months early, allowing the hatchery to stock 1.5 to 2.5 inch bass before the wild fish have even hatched. And they're finding that many more of their stocked bass now are surviving their first winter. After that first winter, they're in good shape and good to go. The program is now in its 10th year, the Early Spawn Bass Program. It produces about 2 million fish annually. Conservation officers with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources are looking hard. They're trying to find out who shot that bull elk, poached it in the Pigeon River State Forest east of Vanderbilt, Otsego County, Michigan. 6 points on one side, 7 on the other. Officers suspect that that elk was killed last Saturday or Sunday. If you were in that area at that time, maybe you saw something. That 24-hour all-poaching hotline is 800-292-7800 in Michigan. One of the highlights of the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo every year, which is coming up January 9 through 12 in Dallas, are the auctions.
They are over the top incredible. And you can bid online. You don't have to wait until January either. Online bidding has started. It's open now. And the link is at bbkoradio.com. Preliminary deer check numbers indicate that statewide harvest numbers are up about 8% in Nebraska as compared to last year's opening weekend of the firearm deer season. Hey, do you have an older dog, teenager, younger dog, couch potato, active dog? Doesn't matter the lifestyle or the health condition. There is a Purina Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog. Pick up the Pro Plan formula that best suits your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. I have traveled with my bird dogs to Roundup, Montana and Muscle Shell County many, many times. Love it there. So I was interested the other day when I read that a Roundup, Montana man was arrested and jailed Friday on 2 felony counts and 19 misdemeanor charges stemming from 2 August incidents in which 3 trophy bull elk were killed at night in Muscle Shell County. Earl Russell Venice, 23 years old. Listen to this sentence and count the charges in this one sentence. 2 incidents of trophy bull elk poaching, killed with a gun fired from a vehicle on a public roadway at night during closed hunting season.
This is Jim Shockey, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about them with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissoon, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
I've relied completely on Buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my Buffalo Wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo Wool, in harsh conditions, had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool. And I feel the Buffalo Wool difference immediately after putting them on. All Buffalo Wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the Buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with Buffalo Wool. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit Joshua Creek.
NationalOutdoorWriter.com.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until National Outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Our roots are in Dallas, but the DSC has grown globally to become a worldwide leader in wildlife conservation, the right to hunt and fish, and the education of future generations. Join us at biggame.org.
One of our pro staffers here at BBKO Radio is Mr. Whitetail Larry Wysoon. He's a biologist, he's an outdoor writer, television host, DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon. Larry, welcome back to the show. Tell me about your deer season so far, buddy.
It's been absolutely fantastic. I've had a chance to spend a little time hunting my own property and hunted the lower Texas Panhandle. Did extremely well there on the Hargrove Ranches. And last few days, I've just been getting ready for a hunt that I'm doing up in Alberta very shortly with Ron Nemechek, an old friend of mine. I'm going to go up there and going to leave the TV cameras at home this time and just go up and spend a little time with Ron and look for the biggest deer that we can find. And if we find a big one, that's great. And if we don't, I'll have had one heck of a good time as well.
Rumor has it that there are some pretty good deer running around. I think your chances of finding a big one are pretty good.
Well, you're right. And that last year when I hunted with Ron, I had never, ever hunted any place where I saw as many year-and-a-half and two-and-a-half-year-old bucks. And as you well know, a lot of those Canadian bucks have a tendency to mature when they're 3.5 years of age. And by 3.5, they can have absolutely monster antlers. And then they're, you know, older bucks as well, too. So it's going to be fun looking for a great big one. And, again, if we find one, if I can hit him, if I put more rigor to work and do everything right, it'll be good. And I know that horned ammo, when I hit it, it'll do the right thing. But it's getting on him and getting that shot. But it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to spending time with Ron and spending some time back again in the far north and hopefully in the serious cold snow country.
Absolutely, yeah. Bundle up. And we're going to talk about those antlers that you were just talking about there in just a minute, but I have to ask, because I know how near and dear it is to your heart to harvest that deer off of your own home property that's been in your family since the 1850s. Have you seen anything good down there, or got you excited?
I've hunted every opportunity I can, both morning and early, or in the evening. And thankfully, I only live about 26 miles. But to be very open with you, I have not yet seen a legal buck. I've seen several that are right at that 12.5-inch inside spread, and they have to be 13 inches and have 4 points on one side. And so, you know, it when I do finally take one, and I really feel like it'll happen a little bit later this year, it's almost going to be anticlimactic, because just going down there with that challenge in mind has been, you know, just kind of a driving force for at least the last couple of years. And when I finally accomplish it, you know, then it's like, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do?
Hey, something will pop up, I promise you. We're going to keep an eye on that quest with you. And let's talk about antler restrictions a little bit. You wrote in Sporting Classics Daily just a few days ago, and if people want to read it, I recommend you do. I've got an easy link at bbkoradio.com to Larry's article that he wrote for Sporting Classics. And you were talking about antler restrictions. Various states have various restrictions. In Texas, many counties have a 13-inch inside spread
restriction. And the way we judge that in the field is when the deer's standing with his ears alert, are the antlers outside of those alert ears? And that's pretty good judgment.
That and, really is. I mean, the ear size varies a lot of different places, but in the areas where we do have antler restrictions, usually a 13 ear tip spread is just about right when he's looking at you and stuff. The antlers, main beam, or beyond that on the inside, then, you know, pretty good chance that it's going to be legal, quite frankly, in most every instance.
Other states, the deer must be an eight, must have a certain number of points. An 8-point is legal in some places, or 4 on one side, or, you know, various places have various restrictions trying to let these deer mature and grow up just a little bit. But let's take that 13-inch inside spread, for example, that we have in Texas. I've got a buddy, Robert Cantrell, that owns an old outdoor store in Fort Worth. He has in there a mount, Larry, of a deer, a white-tailed deer with baseball bat mass. I mean, just huge. Big old 10-point that stretches up big and tall, 14-inch tines. He's only 12 inches inside. Now, obviously, if he walks out in front of us, boy, that's something we got to look at. But, man, then he turns and looks at you, and he's narrow. How are these antler restrictions working out? Because we do have some deer like that.
We do. And quite frankly, I shot a deer in Kansas several years ago. This Boone and Crockett net score by 1/8 of an inch, and he's got a 12-inch inside spread. So, I mean, if he had a 12 1/4, so I can, you know, thankfully it didn't have the antler restriction there, but you're right. I mean, a lot of people get concerned about the fact that, hey, we're shooting all the bucks that, you know, are 13 inches inside and above in a lot of these places, and we're perpetuating a deer that's got a 12-inch spread. And, you know, if you think about it in just one sense, you go, well, yeah, you know, that's exactly right. Because as we shoot off the bigger bucks, only the narrow bucks are going to survive. But there's a lot more to it in the fact that in open country where you have yearling bucks, they travel great distances. They did some studies years ago in the near out south and west of Houston where a lot of the year-and-a-half-old bucks, from the time they got 6 months of age to the time they were year-and-a-half, had traveled anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12. I think the farthest one was 18 miles. So there's a continual exchange of deer that move around, if you will, so that you don't really concentrate those genes. Now, if you visit with some of the deer breeders, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, they've done absolutely wonders in terms of antlers and in terms of genetics. But those are very, very artificial situations to where those deer specifically line bred a lot of times to concentrate genes. In a real world situation, that doesn't happen very often. I learned a long time ago as a wildlife biologist to never say something never happens or something always happens because there are always exceptions to the rule. But as a whole, the antler restrictions where they have been in place, and in my personal place is in one of those areas west of Houston away. We have now, we see when a deer gets to be 3.5 years of age, we very seldom see a deer that's got a, you know, 13 inch or less inside spread. And that's after very intensive harvest over a lot of deer, you know, last, oh, say 20, 25 years. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that that may not happen because some bucks do breed true, but a lot of bucks don't. Now, if you look at something, there was a project done, just completed about almost a year ago now, down on the Comanche Ranch in Maverick County of South Texas. That particular ranch produces a tremendous number of Boone and Crockett bucks every year and has been doing it for a long, long time, very intensively managed. They did a very extensive study through the Texas A&M University at Kingsville, where they went and captured a lot of different deer out of the helicopter, took DNA, had three different areas set up with very intensive type management programs, including tremendous amount of culling that was going on. If the buck didn't reach a certain standard of antlers, they were taken. Others, they were, the other place, they were a little bit less done. In one place, they didn't do anything in terms of culling bucks. And what they found in the long run, when it's all said and done, actually the place that was the least intensive managed in terms of bucks had every bit as big of bucks as the ones that were intensively managed. And a lot of that, they found out too, they were able to capture these bucks and take DNA, and then they go capture younger bucks or if a buck were taken so they could tell, you know, which buck had sired that deer. And one of the things they found out is one of the bucks that produced the better bucks and more better bucks than all the rest of them was a very mediocre buck himself. So,
wow.
I mean, lots of things coming through that research. And, you know, for some people it may be hard to believe, but, you know, you can't hardly deny when you look at that kind of research and say, wait a minute, you know, antler restrictions, are we going to perpetuate very narrow spreads or things like that? Yeah, it could happen, but the chances in real world happening are really, really very slim.
The more we learn, the less we know. Hey, we're going to take a little break, run to the coffee pot. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Larry Wysoon and do a little fall crankbait fishing with Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan.
Hi, this is Taylor Ramey with University of South Alabama Bass Fishing Team. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. And Brett Favre is my neighbor.
At Berkley, our mission is simple, to help anglers catch more fish. With Berkley PowerBait, fish hold on 18 times longer, allowing you to set the hook and catch more fish. No matter the season, no matter the technique, we've got you covered. Whether it be your trusted PowerBait baits, including the Power Worm, Pit Boss, or Bottom Hopper, or Berkley's latest innovations like Jordan Lee's The Champ Craw, and our strong lineup of Berkley hard baits, including everything from topwater baits to deep diving crankbaits. We've got it. Come shop the large assortment of Berkley products at Southwestern Parts and Service for all your Berkley fishing needs. Berkley Fishing. Catch more fish. And when you visit Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas, bring your old gear with you. Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas is the largest reel repair center in the nation for Abu Garcia and has one of the largest reel parts inventory in the world. That's right. Grandpa's gear can work again. Southwestern Parts and Berkley. Catch more fish. Teske's Outdoors is located just west of Weatherford on the south side of I-20, and we are a must stop for gift ideas with the outdoorsman or woman in your life in mind. With thousands of guns from top names like Smith & Wesson, Browning and Beretta. We have a huge selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, the perfect fit for your outdoor passions. Plus, everything you'll need in the world of ammo, optics, gun cleaning, and storage. And a full line of clothing for the hunter or fisher in the family, from Sitka, Under Armour, The North Face, Patagonia, Cool, Free Fly, Howler, and Ariat. And we can help you call in everything from elk to turkeys, with top-of-the-line names like Primos. At Teske's Outdoors, we even teach hunter safety and CHL classes. Shop us online from any place at teskesoutdoors.com. That's T-E-S-K-E-Y-S outdoors.com. Teske's Outdoors is right on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford.
Do you love to feel the thump? Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, presenting the all-new Wally Marshall Pro Series and Speed Shooter Rods by Lewes. For more than two decades, I've been designing the best crappie rods on the planet. The Wally Marshall Pro Series crappie rods are built with IM-8 blanks, cork handles, stainless steel guides, fast tip, and plenty of backbone. Great for vertical jigging, casting, and trolling for crappie. New for 2020, Wally Marshall Pro Series Rear Seat Crappie Rods by Lewes comes in 10-foot and 11-foot, designed for the crappie fanatics that love to feel the thump in heavy cover. Hey, my favorite technique is shooting docks. Wally Marshall Speed Shooters are designed with an IM-8 blank, AVA foam handles, and airwave guides for the perfect shot every time. Speed Shooters come in 5'6" for tight docks, up to 7 foot to get the longest shot. Man, do I love the 7-footer. Hey, be sure to check out all my crappie rods and reels at Lewes.com or MrCrappie.com.
Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort, just north of Pierce, South Dakota, is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us
at springcreeksd.com.
Somewhere over this horizon sit a million little dictators, eager to purge humanity of its hunting instincts. Contrived emotions flood from their air-conditioned, glass-paneled, Wi-Fi-enabled habitats over the mountains and out into the wild, from which they hate to admit they emerged. Their foolish quest to force nature to fit their feelings threatens the survival of every living thing on our planet. If their fevered tantrums are ever imposed, the Earth will be ruled by the deadliest combination in the natural world: human ignorance and human arrogance. Travel another path, the truest path, nature's path. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Camp house floor creaks a little, but don't worry, you're on solid ground with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Seminars with the most knowledgeable hunting and conservation minds, fun with famous faces on stage, and 1,850 booths displaying guns, gear, and awesome adventures around the globe. Heritage, the DSC Convention and Expo, January 9 through 12 in Dallas. BigGame.org.
Welcome back to our camp house here at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. We're proud to share our fire and a hot cup of coffee with you. Glad you're here. Going to pick up our conversation with Larry Wysoon. Very interesting, talking about antler restrictions and how they've worked and have they been beneficial across the U.S. Are we raising more buck deer? Are we raising better quality deer? The answer seems to be yes. Much fewer opponents to antler restrictions now than when they first came along. Larry, talk to me a little bit about does. Are they responsible at all for antler growth in our fawns? Do they pass on an antler gene?
Yes, sir. Based on what we've seen in the past, you know, where they were doing true genetic studies, of course, the does always going to have a 50% influence on any of the genes that a buck will carry. So, yes, she can have definite influence on the spread, the number of points, the mass, all those things relative to that buck getting the proper nutrition and getting into the older age classes.
Wow. Bottom line, antler restrictions have, in my opinion, done some good. I know they were frustrating to a lot of old boys when they first came along because that's not what we did growing up in Palapena County, Texas. You know, we shot them. But
the same thing where I grew up, but I mean, it is absolutely amazing. I mean, we're now taking deer that's going in the 130s and the 140s where, many years ago, we're producing better bucks now than maybe that country has produced in the last 100 years. In the fact that, I mean, when I was hunting, if you saw an 8-point buck, if it had a 4-inch spread, you know, it was an absolute monster. So, and now these days, it's not uncommon to shoot bucks that have 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 or more inch spread inside, and scoring the 130s and 140s are better as far as Benny Crockett is concerned. We do have more bucks than we did in the past. I mean, because the harvest was so heavy on yearlings. So a lot of those bucks are getting into those little bit older age classes. The result is not only bigger antlers, but also bigger bodies as they matured. And I know you like to eat venison as much as I do, at least. And, you know, those bigger bodies, when you do finally shoot one of those bucks, it to me, it means a little bit more to you in terms of what you can put up on the wall, but even more importantly, is what I can put on the table for my family and my friends.
Yep, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, I've got a nice Axis deer stroganoff going in there today. So, you know.
Now you're making me jealous and hungry, both.
Well. Thanks, Larry. BBKO Radio Pro Staffer, Larry Wysoon. Watch him on the Sportsman Channel as he and Blake Barnett co-host DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon. It's quality outdoor television. This corner of the camp house brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. Hey, bird dog guys, retriever guys, Pro Plan Performance Formula, 30% protein, 20% fat. It is the absolute
best fuel you can give your hard-working bird dog. And it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Fall is a great time to throw crankbaits and catch a lot of bass. Kelly Jordan KJ, another BBKO Radio Pro staffer, one of the founding members of Major League Fishing, knows a little something about crankbaits. KJ, educate us on crankbaits a little bit. Is it just chunking and grinding, casting and reeling? Is that all there is to a crankbait?
It is if you're casting and reeling at the right speed and the right depth in the right place.
There you go. There's a little more to it than that.
Yeah, there is a lot. You know, there's a lot of feel there, and you know, you got to pick the right baits. You got to have the right retrieve speed. You might have to vary, your speed. Some days they may want to do a straight burning retrieve, which is as fast as you can reel it in the whole way in. The other times they may want it super slow. Sometimes they want to stop and go. You know, the thing I can tell you is let the fish tell you.
Yeah.
If you know they're there, or you catch a couple and you're not catching them as good as you think you should be, change them up a little bit. See if they'll let you know what they want at that time. And that can change throughout the day, hour, and minute as well. You know, you don't ever know. But, no, you know, there's a million and one different ways, you can fish a crankbait. There's a million kinds of crankbaits, like you said. A crankbait is probably one of the most deadly baits that there is out there for catching the most and the biggest fish. That's why so many tournaments, when they're on a crank, you know, when there's a crankbait bite to be had, it's usually one on a crankbait.
Yeah.
It's a deadly presentation, and if you haven't ever caught them real good on a crankbait, or maybe you don't have that much confidence in a crankbait, I'll tell you, man, give it a shot, stay with it, figure them out, and, you know, it's like anything. It's just more clubs in your bag, you know. Yeah. It's just more stuff you can throw at them, and if you get them on the crankbait, it's special, and that, like, seriously, that is one of the best ways to catch the most and the biggest fish around once they get on it. So keep after it. A lot of the big, my favorite kind of cranking is deep cranking. Well, you know, with big rods, big crankbaits, and it usually involves 10-pound line or so. There's, you know, there's a little touch there. The main thing with landing fish on a crankbait is keeping pressure. You know, as far as landing them, yeah, we're trying to put the heat on as much as we can, but I can't put that much heat with 10-pound line on a fish on a crankbait. I've seen more big fish lost by people, and especially since I used to be a guide on Lake Fork, my clients, when they would see a big fish that they'd hooked on a crankbait,
right.
Well, what the natural reaction of most people to do is, oh, man, it's a big one. They back way off.
Oh.
They don't want to break him off. They're scared of him. They get him. They see how big he is, so they start trying to easy play him. That's the best way to lose a big one in the hole. I mean, if you want to lose one, just go ahead and back off and let him do whatever he wants. You will probably lose him. Everything that we do is we have our rods set up. You need to match, you know, your rods to the bait you're using and to the size line you're using. You need to set your drag on your reel correctly. You know, when they get close to the boat, you don't have the benefit of as much line out there, so there's less line stretch. What that means, it's easier for them to pop the line, break the line. Practice, you know, if you're fun fishing and you want to be ready for that big one, practice all that. Practice, you know, keeping strong pressure and what the limit of it is close to the boat. Also, you really need to get good with your thumb bar if you use some bait casting. Hitting the bar and let them run if they get close to the boat with your thumb. That's going into free spill mode and letting them go. Don't try to stop them when they make a run. Just keep it tight and let them go off, and then click it back in and then put the heat back on them. You know, you can practice that on smaller fish when they get close. Hit it and let them run. Just, you know, get used to where that's just an easy thing to do, a second nature. You know, there's a lot of little tricks like that. But, you know, really, when you're fun fishing and, you know, whatever tackle you're using, if you want to play them down, that's great. Putting the heat on them is usually the best way to get them in the boat. But there are limits to that, especially if they're a big one. So
you got
to
do it and feel it and learn it.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, if I could ski them on 10-pound line, I would. I mean, I'm not trying to say I wouldn't because I can't. Or I don't because I can't, excuse me. The way that we fight them in tournaments, that's the fastest way you can get them in the boat. And sometimes we use really big line so we can do what you're talking about. I try to use the biggest line I can get away with.
Right.
But there's a lot of times, especially cranking, when that is not the case.
Right.
The best way to lose a big fish is if you have a big old heavy crankbait or a big lipless crank, you know, say a 1-ounce lure, let him jump a couple times on slack line. He can throw that sucker around.
He'll throw it back in your face.
More times than not. You know, that's like, you know, having a rock on the end of his, you know, you can break anything, you know, like that. Like I said, there's a bunch of ways to play a fish. If you're trying to play them and for fun, I guess it's not going to break your heart too bad if you lose a 12-pounder. But it would break mine.
Yeah.
Just try to be smart and keep tension. Even if you're trying not to horse from the boat, don't ever give them slack and don't ever give them just a little bit of tension. keep it nice and firm. Yeah. You don't have to horse them in the boat, but, you know, if you do want to land the fish, make sure that you have pressure all the time. You'll land a lot more of them.
BBKO Radio Pro Staffer and one of the founding members of Major League Fishing, KJ, Kelly Jordan. Hey, I'm going to make a little run to the coffee pot, but when I come back, let me just put this scenario out there for you. You finally draw a moose tag. It's the only one you've ever had. You've never been moose hunting before. And once you draw this tag in this state, you're done. You can never draw another one. It's a once-in-a-lifetime tag. It's your first and only day to moose hunt. And with your bow, you take down a moose that's not only the new state record, but also very possibly the number one all-time Pope and Young. It's a great story from North Dakota when we come back. Here at Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores in Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
When you serve up that white-tailed deer to your friends and family, I promise you, they're going to think you're feeding them beef if you had that animal processed at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing.
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best, and that meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it. And it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody, and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game. Because the way we season them, and then we cryovac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
CCR, wildgameprocessing.com. Hey, guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. Wing shooting in Argentina is an activity that must be experienced rather than explained. Dove are considered to be a plague in the area, so there are no bag limits, and there are no seasons to hunt them.
We've got 20 million birds on the roost, and they're there 365 days a year. They're there every day, all day. They fly 8 hours a day, every day.
At Cordoba Doves, you'll enjoy delicious food, exceptional hospitality, beverages in the field, your own personal bird boy.
Bird boy's job is to pour shells in your bag when you're going through a box every 5 minutes and keep count of the birds that you've shot and to bring you something to drink every few minutes. At the end of the day, we pick up all the hulls and pick up the birds, but you can't send him out to pick up birds at 600 or 800 times a day.
Experience the very best that Argentina has to offer through Cordoba Doves. contact the U.S. Representative Lane Balky at CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. You can see me in Argentina.
You folks come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back. Partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
If you enjoy a topwater plug bubbling over quiet water or the first glimpse of a sunrise from a frosty deer blind, then you are the DSC too. BigGame.org.
I read a story that Travis Shahovic with the Bismarck, North Dakota Tribune wrote the other day about Rick Ellingston, who shot the moose of a lifetime, and the hunt itself, the whole story, it's just fairy tale stuff. So I gave Rick a call earlier this week and talked to him about it.
Rick, good to have you on the show. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem.
You never know what a day will bring. You went out and shot just a mammoth moose, took this moose with your bow a few days back, and it turns out it's the new state record. And first thing I have to say to you is congratulations. That's got to be pretty thrilling.
It is. Yeah, thanks. I just got off the phone with it. Pope and Young, actually, and I was going to order a plaque, and they said it's actually the number one in the United States, at number 49 in the world.
Oh, that's my cool. Word. Oh, no kidding. Double congratulations, yeah. Man. That's huge.
Yeah.
We've got a picture of Rick and his new Pope and Young, number one in the U.S., moose. What species of moose was this?
It's a Canadian moose.
Uh-huh. And I guess you've been hunting moose all your life for a long time?
No, North Dakota, you can only get a once-in-a-lifetime tag.
Really?
So I've been hunting other big game for the past 20 to 30 years. Yeah.
So how many times have you been moose hunting before this?
Never.
Never?
I've helped other guys out. My uncle got a tag here 5-6 years ago, and I helped him get one. That was about it.
Wow. This story just keeps getting better all the time, Rick. It's awesome. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the day that you took your moose, you weren't even planning to hunt, were you? It was just kind of a spur-of-the-moment deal?
Well, I was headed out. We had been watching two other pretty good moose, and I was going to put a stand up in that spot, but our river bottom had been flooded, and it was just so muddy I couldn't get it in there by myself, so I was just going to wait for my buddy to come down. He was going to help me get it in there. And this one was just standing on the bank when I was headed back upriver. And he turned and headed for the hills. And I knew of a back channel that I could go about a quarter mile away. And I ran up that with my boat, beached the boat, and jumped out. And I could see him just coming through the willows. He had no clue I was even there. And he got about, I suppose, it was 10 yards inside the willows. And it gave me about a 25-yard shot through a basketball-sized hole in the willows. And I was able to get one into his chest and got along that way.
Wow. Wow. What a hunt. You know, we're talking to another guy on the show today. He shot the new state record, West Virginia, whitetail with his bow, big, beautiful 17-point buck. And he had hunted that particular deer for 6 years. And sometimes it happens just the opposite. You know, it happens in one morning and just worked out absolutely perfect. Tell folks the measurements, and I know there's a drying period and we're waiting for that, but the measurements of this new number one North America Pope and Young moose.
It was 53 2/8 wide, and it ended up scoring 190 6/8.
Wow, what an incredible animal. And when you do something like this, when you achieve something like this, it's really good to have a few buddies to help, because that's a chore.
Oh, boy. I couldn't have did it without them. Yeah. We had eight guys, tied them to a boat, and we were able to pull them back to the boat dock about 6 miles. Took us probably 6-7 hours total.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good day's work.
Yeah, it was quite the chore.
I tell you, a once-in-a-lifetime license in North Dakota to hunt moose. So you're done. You cannot draw again, right?
No, I can get an elk tag or a bighorn sheep once in a lifetime.
You fully fulfilled that tag with the absolute best moose walking around in North America. And again, Rick, congratulations. What a great story.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for your time. Greatly appreciate it. What a story.
Rick Ellingston from Williston, North Dakota, and his new, after this drying period is over in 60 days, North American record Canadian moose, Pope and Young. Love the stories from the great outdoors and how we all go about it. Here's my old friend Gary Morris capturing that feeling in song.
When the wind drifts down the hollow and the sun creeps through the oaks, quiet turns to chatter, I'm the guest, not the host. A crow calls in the morning, my decoy is set in place. Number fives are waiting, my heart begins to race. A pitch down then a gobble, another then a strut. The decoy does its magic, a single shot's enough. I'm in church. Don't need someone to join me or someone to anoint me. The quiet in the chaos is reason to be here. I'm in church. I'm clear, I'm in church. Springtime turns to summer, and the waters start to warm. With the timing of a drummer, the flies begin to swarm. Choose a fly, a worm, or other. Bait is not the game, it's a meal, a sport, my lover, and I'll always take the blame. I'm in church, and if you want to join me, there's no need to anoint me. The quiet in the chaos is reason to be here. I'm in church, and this you can't deny me. It's wholly real inside me. No bricks, no mortar here, just God and guest. I'm clear, I'm in church. Fall grabs me by the collar, these mountains make me smaller, pines and aspen blind me, elk above and deer behind me, all these moments still the bone. Ducks and geese leaving home, heading south, and now I'm waiting over quick, and that I'm hating, but soon it starts all again. Hallelujah, I can say amen. I'm in church.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the time we've had together today, and I hope you'll meet me right back here in this old camp house next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.